The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that time, Jesus said, "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants and the simple ones. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then he said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Several things converge today, which makes it interesting. One is that we're commemorating the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, San Francisco de Assis. And talking about San Francisco de Assis, that's where I am serving temporarily as a vicar. I'm an interim vicar at the Hispanic congregation in South Austin. And this Sunday, we had a big bash. It was a veritable festival, for we were celebrating the patron saint of the church. In fact, we had, and you should have seen it, it's a whole regalia. We had a procession from the church up to about four blocks away, then back. And along the way, the dancers, the indigenous Aztec dancers that are known as matachines, dance all the way with the drums. And we had an old-timey band that sounded like you were in the, probably in some village in somewhere in Italy, somewhere. That's the way it sounded. It was just glorious. And we got to bless the animals. And I got to bless two horses, which was the first one for me. I still haven't done snakes. Well, the other thing that converges today is that we have officially, as of yesterday, we opened up the period of this month that we celebrate or commemorate the Hispanic heritage for all of this month. And you have received, I think, ample notification of some of the events and so forth, and we're going to be reminding you of that from time to time. Today's sermon is not going to be your usual sermon. I call it an info homily. That's probably the way it should be described. And the reason is that I want to touch on some things regarding the Hispanic Heritage Month and some of the things that I want to relate to you. But let me start out with what we hear Jesus saying in the beginning of the gospel. And he said, "All of you who are heavy laden and carrying heavy burdens, I will give you rest." And then he adds, "Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy. My burden is light." Well, I read those words, and the first thing that I thought about, I said, what about how would the Latinos who are here in the country as immigrants, for example, and working two or three jobs, how would they feel that their burden is light? How would they feel that their yoke is not too heavy? And, of course, we can also think of the people here in the United States, people that are the bottom end of the totem pole, and see how they feel about these words about having an easy burden or an easy yoke. I think it's a question we have to think about from time to time as to how real some of our biblical phrases, some of our words, are what I call churchy words, how they really come across to some of the people who are feeling just the opposite. But as we enter into this month, I think we have to be mindful, actually, of the many socioeconomic gaps that Latinos have experienced over the years, decades, really, and more particularly since we've had the surge of immigrant Hispanics coming to the United States. And no question, there are serious challenges still ahead of us and still to resolve in closing some of the gaps as we see the numbers. Now, several reasons can be offered for this disparity of the gaps that we see. For example, when you look into the Pew Research Center, you immediately begin to see from the tables that there are some disparities, there are some gaps. And several reasons can be offered. One, which is the usual one, actually, and we can point to a systematic system of racism or deeply embedded prejudices in various parts of the country. Or some people point to the fact that many Latinos have a reluctance or resistance, actually, to assimilate. And they blame that as part of the reason for the disparity. And yet, in another way, we can also point to some of the cultural values that many Latinos have in common, no matter the nationality or the ethnicity or the language or the race. As the poster says that you'll be seeing outside in the campus, many countries, many nationalities, many ethnicities, but in the U.S., one people. And so we have, of this one people, we have some common core values that are in themselves commendable. But when you mix it up with this very individualistic and very competitive capitalistic system that we work under, they're kind of at variance. And that might be another reason why there is a difference in some of the economic or social indicators. But whatever the reasons, the numbers show that Latinos have lagged behind the dominant European American groups here in the U.S. So it's easy, when you look at the numbers, to paint a kind of a dire picture concerning the future of the Latinos or even the existing situation. And then I started to, as I was painting this kind of darkish picture, I said, wait a minute, I'm going down a Trumpian rabbit hole. Let me get out of this. Let me get out of this. But not to be discounted, I think, are some of the good values that we see, some of the good things that are happening in the Latino community. But I reread the gospel story just so I could get grounded again in terms of where we were going to be going here. And I gravitated to the words that Jesus says, I thank you, Father, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to the little ones, the ones at the margin, the ones who are toiling day and night under their heavy burden, but they have been revealed some things to them, something God has done. I think God has provided that little extra grace, it seems. And so what we don't see, talking about the hidden things, is that we don't see some of the underlying facts and realities that concerning the Latino communities all over the country. These are because we're so much caught up in the stereotypical economic social indicators that show the gaps, we don't go below that and really see the real picture. And this is what I just want to relay to you just very, very briefly. For example, in a survey that was run by the Pew Research Center, it was discovered that Latinos have some of the most optimistic feelings about their economic and financial picture, which is interesting, given some of the things that we hear on the other side. Hispanics, according to the survey, are very confident that their finances will improve next year and the several years to come. And more importantly, that the financial picture of their children is going to be better for them than for the parents. That I think that is an optimism that we have to keep in mind, that we have to always be in front of us as we hear some of the other more negative picture. Also, other hidden indicators. For example, the overall majority of native-born Latinos have achieved an acculturation level to the point that the great majority of the Latinos in the U.S. are either English dominant or they speak English very well. I think the numbers speak for themselves. Something in the order of 75% fall under that category. So we have to revisit, again, the stereotypical notion that, as you will ask the person out in the street, describe a Latino, and they'll say, well, it's an immigrant, they speak Spanish. Well, we see from the reality that it's just kind of just the opposite. And we also have, along with that acculturation, we've got something interesting in that we, the church, should be paying attention to. And the more acculturated they are, the more they have a choice of where they worship, either in Spanish or in English. And they do have a choice sometimes. So this is a factor that we've got to keep in mind. Now, U.S.-born Latinos, given their increasing levels of acculturation, they're also marrying outside of their ethnic group, more and more so. Roughly 30% of the Latinos in this country are marrying non-Hispanics, whether it be Black, Anglo, or Asian, or whatever. And I say to myself, you know, to some extent, whether you look at it as a positive or neutral or what, to me, it represents an evangelistic feel, because the math is simple. Hispanic plus marrying another non-Hispanic, especially a Protestant, equals an Episcopalian or a Lutheran or whatever. So there's no doubt that Hispanics, Latinos, are fast joining the middle class in America. In fact, when you look at some of the good numbers, you'll see that Latinos have probably one of the highest labor participation numbers compared to the other ethnic groups. In other words, a greater proportion of Latinos are working. No matter what the job is, they're working. And that's important for us to keep in mind. There's also the fact that the enrollment especially for native-born Latinos is on the rise, even though there's a gap between the overall Latino picture and the, let's say, the non-Latino picture. But in terms of the U.S.-born, that gap is not necessarily narrowing, but they are growing in terms of their enrollment. And then something that is always interesting to me is that Latinos are probably one of the most wired ethnic groups in the country in terms of the internet, in terms of smartphones, social media. You see the numbers put out by some of the marketing companies, and you'll see that Hispanics are almost at the very top, superseding most of the other non-Hispanic groups. And so what that tells us is that we, the church, in general, if we want to communicate with our Latino brothers and sisters, we got to get wired. We got to be tech savvy. We've got to approach them where they are and how they're listening to things. Now, those are some of the economic and social indicators that I wanted to just very briefly pass by you. But the more important, I think, things that are sometimes hidden are the cultural values that account for the optimism and the resiliency of many Latinos in this country. Especially among the Latino immigrants, there is a strong predilection for seeing life as half full instead of half empty. Seeing the abundance of what they have, even if it's small or little, but seeing it from the standpoint of what God has provided. And so I think that aspect of the Latino, I think it's part of the cultural DNA, that always looking at the optimistic side of life. And Hispanics, as a rule, feel that God has provided the wherewithal for them to survive, whether they're immigrants or not. And this is reflected in many of the Hispanic wisdom sayings. For example, some of you probably know this, lo que Dios quiera, which literally means whatever God dictates. But underneath that saying, it can be paraphrased as saying, whatever God puts in front of us, we can deal with it. And so I believe that's one of the enhancing values that I think we always should be thinking about. And I think more importantly, Latinos, like other ethnic groups of this country, particularly Black Americans, Native Americans, Asians, we're tied spiritually to a very palpable God. We're tied to a concrete God who is made real by the many religious and sacramental events, activities, and things that Latinos experience throughout their lifetime. Many times we hear that many Latinos are unchurched. I think that might be something that's not correct. I think Latinos might be unchurched in terms of the gospel, in terms of the Bible. They cannot spell Christology, but certainly Latinos are tied to the spiritual side of God. They're tied to that God that fills the in-between the lines in their daily lives. And I think that's something that we have to keep in mind. Lastly, I think that I want to just leave you with these words, and that comes from the gospel today. Jesus says, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I think Latinos take that to heart. They really take to heart. "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls." Well, there's no question that Diosito, as God is frequently referred to in the Hispanic communities, Diosito, which literally means little God, but it more than little God, it really means my God that I can hold on to, mi Diosito. So he's frequently referred to time and time again, which I think makes the burden light and sustainable. And thank goodness for that. Amen.